Hello, everyone, and welcome to my canvas shop. My name is Lane Hewitt. I am your host, and this is episode one of Lane Hewitt's canvas shop. I don't make boat covers. I got the name canvas shop because I have a small little side business, a stretching canvas for artists in my area. And for myself as well, of course. I am an artist. I assumed that the name would be pretty fitting because of a couple of things. I wanted to start a podcast talking about the creative process, art in general, since that's what I do. That's my passion in life, absolutely. I'm surrounded by a bunch of paintings. And I mentioned I started stretching canvas. Where was I going from there? I can't remember. The creative process. The canvas is kind of, it's the substrate of an artwork. So that's really philosophically the realm of highest potential, where all the creative juices come from, where all the ideas flow from. It's the blank canvas. It's very free. It's very open. It's very terrifying because there's really, you have nothing to go off of. You're just at the point of maximum potential. And a lot of people get froze there. I have not been very frequently frozen there with my own visual artwork, but when it comes to writing, I get the blank page syndrome from time to time, admittedly. So where am I going with this? I guess this podcast is going to be really a selection of interviews with artists, friends, and I'm going to talk about anything I'm interested in, to be honest. With as minimal editing as possible, I'm probably going to edit out some blank spots where I'm thinking, but I want this to be a freeform sort of thing. You know, I'm kind of intimidated right now. I've been working on this painting, and I've been doing some abstract, figurative sort of stuff, but not, the figures aren't very abstract. I've been experimenting with creating abstract scenes with figures placed in there, and I've got this woman just staring at me, staring a hole through my soul, making me feel very just normally blank with my thoughts. But you know what, this is the first episode. You try a bunch of different things. Excuse me. Let's talk about my creative process. A little while ago, I was drawing a lot of mandalas. That was pretty much my only form of visual art. I've always played music. Started playing music when I was 7. Started playing the mandolin. If you don't know what that is, that's a little itty-bitty kind of guitar sort of thing, but it's in the shape of a teardrop. It has 8 strings and it's tuned like a violin. The strings are paired together, so you really have 4 notes for each string. So it's like a 12-string guitar, but a violin that you use with a pick. I live in an area that is pretty hippie, but it's got this interesting mix of hippie and country, but like kind of woods folk. Lots of folk music. There's a big folk. There's actually, it's a folk festival that really goes year round. They have the big one in the summer, but they have a winter concert series. And they probably have a fall and a spring concert series. But I honestly, I can't remember. I'm not super into it. In high school, like, the kind of music I was interested in playing was really quite cringy. If I can use that word. I think my friends would describe it as that as well. The first couple of people that I'm going to have on are actually the first couple of people that I played music with seriously in high school. We had a band, and what was it called? What did we call that? Shit. I can't remember. Oh, it was like, oh, I was about to say Losing Friends Fast, but it was called Making Enemies Fast. And we were kind of outcasts, I guess. Went to a school. There was like 500 people in the whole high school. 100 people in our graduating class, give or take. Actually, give a little bit. It wasn't that small. A pretty affluent little community. So the school was pretty nice. But that's besides the point. We had a band called Making Enemies Fast. And I guess that was kind of the point. It was pretty cringy. The best moment from that was when we performed a song called Subsidence. Subsidence? Subsidence, like subsiding. And we played it at the talent show. The original jam that we came up with the format of that song for was quite long. And we planned on playing it really long, like 15 minutes, but we didn't. And ultimately, people left, like, trying to shield their children from the music that we were playing. I've heard, and this is a rumor, that some people left and they were actually in tears. And it was one of the greatest moments of my life. There's a video on YouTube. Maybe I'll put a link to it in whatever sort of show notes I will have on this. So I started playing music really young, and that's basically what I did off and on until I started drawing these mandalas. And I really enjoyed it, but they would take me extreme amounts of time to complete. Because I'm a perfectionist, and drawing mandalas will bring that gene out in me, like, in an almost masochistic sort of way. I'll work on these for like months at a time, and they're really beautiful. I really enjoy the finished product. Honestly, I was definitely vaping at the time of some of it. So I would just be sitting at my desk, huffing and puffing on my vape and listening to like house music or techno and just really checking out as much as possible. And so I needed a break from that. So I bought a bunch of spray paint and got some canvases from a store. And just kind of started doing whatever. And ultimately, like, I was painting these pyramid sort of landscapes. That was fun. That was neat. People enjoyed that a little bit. But then I kind of stumbled upon, like, this drip technique. And a lot of people confuse it with a splattering. And that's not my point. That's not my point at all. I'm trying to stay away from splatter painting. Because, honestly, if you want to do that, if you want to do any sort of art form, you got to be the best at it. At least that's my perception on it. If you're just a hobbyist, there's nothing wrong with that. Do what you want to do. But, like, I would love for this to be a profession of mine. So, I try to stay away from splatter painting, because if you want to be the best at splatter painting, then you got to be better than Jackson Pollock. And you can't be better than Jackson Pollock. If you try to do that, you're fucked. So I actually got some advice to not do that. But I continued on this neo-pointillist sort of style. It's quite abstract. I have a hard time making any sort of figures out of the pointillism that I do. I can kind of create like a little bit of an atmosphere. Some abstract landscapes. Those are fun. And I'll have a link to my artwork as well if you want to look at that. That'd make me very happy. Show some love in the comments section, you know? Blow up my Instagram. That'd be cool. So I started doing that. And then it got to this point where I'm drawing figures and then burying them, quote unquote, burying, in through layers of pointillism. And kind of just these abstract scapes that I feel like really bring out an emotion. I can really bring out a feeling that's in that. So I have some stuff. You can look at that. I'm sure I'll talk about that later. And whatever. I really don't like talking about myself, to be completely honest. And I feel like I'm obliged to talk about myself. If I'm sitting in a room with one microphone, I don't know what that's from. It's probably that woman looking at me. It's just a sketch at this point in time. Wow. Yeah. Should I talk more about myself? God damn it. That's the only thing that comes to mind. I'm going to drink some water. Oh, yeah. That's good. It's the best kind of Voss water is the Voss water that you have in a glass container that you've filled up a dozen times with tap water. Sometimes refrigerator purified water. All right, let's talk about me living in my van. That's a good topic, because I'm trying to make this last for about 30 minutes, and we're about halfway in. So, living out of my van, what brought me to that conclusion? Well, one part of me knew that I would need a bigger studio than just my garage. It was a nice little area, you know. I took over the entire space. My roommate didn't particularly love it, but that's what I did. I got paint all over the walls, all over the garage door, and it was a terrible, terrible process of moving out of that place. But I figured I would much rather have a studio, a creative space, somewhere where I could stretch the canvas, make a little extra side money easier without having to assemble and disassemble all of my woodworking tools and my painting tools whenever I wanted to switch an activity. So I put hardwood flooring in a van. I put my bed as it was sitting in my room in my van. And so far, it's been a great decision. I've also been working on moving out of Oregon, going to Chicago, Illinois, and it's not as violent as the news would make you want to think. Regardless, that's where my girlfriend lives, and I would much rather be closer to her. I'd rather be closer to her than to a bunch of hillbilly folk music playing types. That they're cool. They're cool. Very cool people. They don't have very much money, which is a little bit of an issue if you're trying to sell paintings and all the people around you don't really buy paintings. I'm sure plenty of people do, but the outlets are just so sparse. There's two galleries in my area that, a Central Oregon area. It's like a Tri-Cities sort of thing. Mostly Bend, Oregon. So Bend, Oregon would be the only place with galleries. Nope, I take that back. There's galleries other places. The galleries outside of Bend, and most of them inside of Bend, show mountains. Lots of mountains. Oh, God. I've seen so many mountains. I live in the Cascade Range over here, so everyone has just a massive affinity towards the mountains. And they're beautiful. But it gets old. So there's two galleries in Bend that would show abstract work. There's probably more than that, but there's two mainstream ones. There might be four. That's difficult. That's difficult as an artist. I mean, I guess I can ship paintings all over the place. I can drive them around. But that gets expensive. I don't make a lot of money. I spend all my money on rent. I guess it's paycheck to paycheck. I don't know. But that's how it goes. You got to spend all your money and then record a podcast with a giant woman looking at you. That's the shit right there. But social media is great for artists. There's this dude that lives in Brooklyn. Never met him in real life, but I met him on Instagram. I'm going to make a painting for him. Because I like his style. And he's into crypto. And that's cool. So, you know, got to do what you got to do. Let's talk about crypto a little bit. That's going to be my next thing that I'm going to do. If I decide to delete this podcast, then the next podcast is going to be an introduction to crypto art. God, maybe I should just do this. Do that. This. That. Or the other thing. I don't know. I don't care. But crypto is definitely a big interest. Bitcoin. Ethereum. Those are the big ones. Everyone's heard about Bitcoin. Some people have heard about Ethereum. But Those are the essentials or whatever. There's like 1,500 of them. A lot of those are going to fail because a lot of people have just dumped money into crypto because they think that it's going to be the next like internet and everyone's going to make money. So people just throw money at whatever. And there's lots of scams. You got to really watch out for that. But I've been interested in it. Been reading about it off and on since 2015. If I would have just bought and held on to stuff, that would have made me way more money than trying all the different trading techniques and whatever that I've tried over the years. So that's a little good piece of advice. Just hold on to it if you buy any. But there's this cool little emerging art scene for digital art, because one of the things that cryptocurrency does is you can create NFTs, non-fungible tokens. And honestly, who cares about that? But you can create limited editions of artwork, digital artwork that you can sell to people and that people can sell to other people. And it's a completely different thing for digital art, because in the past, you know, you'd make a little bit of a meme, maybe do some Mandelbrot zoom in a GIF file and upload it. and everyone downloads it. Maybe someone says, that's neat. Get a little endorphin rush from some likes, and that's the end of it. But now with websites like SuperRare, OpenSea, there's an app called Additional. And I don't know if there's anything else. I'm sure there is. There definitely is. But those are the big ones. You can create your artwork, attach it to the blockchain. People can buy it, sell it. You can set a price to get, what would you call it? Not residuals. Essentially a cut from every future sale. So if it gets sold 10 times, you know, for $100 a time, you get like 10% of that. So you get $100 from all those sales, even if just from creating it, which is quite the luxury, because even as a visual artist, creating what I'm starting to call analog artwork, artwork in the real life on canvas on a piece of wood, you sell that once and you're likely to never see that again. And I think that's the whole reason why Banksy put that shredder in one of his art pieces at the Sotheby's gallery at the I'm getting the story all mixed up. He put a shredder in an art piece. He put a shredder inside of the frame with like a, I don't know, some sort of Bluetooth thing attached to it or whatever. However he did it. I don't think he reveals his secrets. And when it went up to auction at a Sotheby's auction, and his work's worth a lot of money, it started shredding the piece right after it got sold, actually. So I think he was trying to waste people's money, or maybe say like a good fuck you to the whole industry because he's not getting a cut of that. Regardless, his plan backfired because his video, there's millions of views. Now the piece is famous because the shredder stopped working halfway through the art piece. So you've got a frame with half a piece of art in it and little shreds of paper below it. I'm sure whoever bought that was pretty stoked. They just made a good investment. But regardless, you didn't get any of that money. And cryptocurrency, if he created that digitally, he would make some of that money. But then there's also another conundrum. One second. When you're making digital art that you can make in real life on a canvas, it just looks goofy. I haven't figured out why. But when you look at it and it's just like some, I don't know, I hate to be too degrading and say some MS Paint sort of thing, like you took the spray paint tool and drew a dick on it, that it just looks goofy, dude. And you could do that in real life. You could draw penis on some canvas and do it artfully. And especially if you had some recognition, I'm sure it would sell for a lot of money, or plenty of money. But it just doesn't look that cool in digital art. And it's purely my opinion. I've gotten a couple people that have kind of brought this up. Actually, I'm stealing the total idea from a friend of mine. But he articulated something that I was trying to articulate for a little while, which was that it looks goofy if you can do it in real life and then you do it on a screen. But if you use some sort of interesting GIF per se, then it looks cooler. And that's kind of something I've been trying to work on, is basically animating something on canvas and turning it into a GIF, like the classic flipbook way of making things, draw an image and then draw the next scene in the image and then keep going, photograph it each time, compile it into a GIF, and then voila, you have like a moving image. And I think I did a pretty decent job. But man, one of them took forever. I took 300 pictures, just about. And, well, my first problem is that I didn't want to pay for anything. And there was a GIF maker that I could have used online that would have made it really nice and simple. But I didn't want to do that. I have Photoshop. So I was like, I'll just use Photoshop. I'll use the frame tool or timeline tool and just put every image in there. And ultimately, the file size was like 9 gigabytes. And it crashed the program a couple times trying to make that into a GIF. So it wound up taking like 6 hours. But maybe someone will like it. Someone could possibly buy it. I've got it up on OpenSea. On my storefront, Lane Hewitt Gallery. Lane Hewitt's Gallery. If you feel like checking that out. But I guess, you know, it's not a bad place to kind of wrap this up. Because the... essentially what I've been talking about is what this podcast is going to be about. Maybe some philosophy mixed in there. I might have stoicism written down somewhere in the description because I really like that philosophy as just like a very practical way to live your life. But one of my future guests, Jeremiah, hopefully, if I can get him on, will tell me just how unenlightened I am. Because he's a philosophy major or something like that. I honestly can't remember. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. But, I'm looking forward to that. And if you are listening to this before there's any other podcasts, you're a real trooper. You're a real trooper. I love the shit out of you. Have a good day.